God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you this morning from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, "For everything there's a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to go on vacation, and a time to come back from vacation." Actually, that's not in there, but it's good to be back from vacation. It was great to go on vacation and get some good rest up there with my family in Cape Cod, go snorkeling and all kinds of fun stuff on the water, and it's good to be back from vacation and back with you, and especially in time for 4th of July. Tomorrow is Independence Day, the day when we celebrate as a nation our birthday as a nation, our independence and freedom from Great Britain, and it's a good day for us to celebrate as Americans. But what I'd like to talk about with you today is an even greater holiday than that, something we ought to celebrate every day as Christians, namely Dependence Day, that we depend on God for all things, that we depend on Him for all of our needs, that He daily protects and defends us, forgives, and upholds us. As it's written, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand." If God is our shepherd, certainly then He cares for us as His people. He takes care of us. Now I want to talk with you today about us depending on God for our everything, depending upon Him for our strength, for our wisdom, for our protection, for our daily needs, and for all things, ultimately, even eternal life in Christ Jesus. So, Dependence Day. Is this what we're celebrating? What can we say about that? Well, what's it mean to depend upon God, do you think? Depend upon God. John Patton was a pioneer to the South Sea Islands in the Pacific, and he was translating the Bible into the New Testament for the natives down there, and he couldn't find a word for believe in the sense of trust for them. And so when he was translating this word about Paul and Silas and the Philippian jailer, when the Philippian jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" he translated it like this. He says, "Lean your whole weight upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved." To lean your whole weight. If you take a chair, like this chair up here, what does God want for us in trusting in Him? To lean upon Him a little bit? To just sort of brush against Him? Or in our lives to sit with our whole weight upon Him, trusting in Him? Because just like this chair is able to bear me up, when we lean our whole weight upon God, He is able to bear us up. But a man once turned 75 years old, and a friend of his who was a pilot decided to take him on a spin around the city, up in the air, in the plane. And the man had never flown before, took a 20-minute ride, and afterwards his friend asked him, "Were you scared up there?" And the man said, "Well, no, because I never did put my full weight down on your plane." Now, of course, that's impossible, right? But he didn't really trust the plane that much. But what God wants for us is to lean our whole weight upon Him, because He is able to bear us up, as it says in the Bible, even on eagle's wings, to make us ride on the heights of the earth. I want to ask you today, for you, is it Independence Day from God, or is it Dependence Day with God every day? Are you depending upon Him, and upon the God who's able to bear you up? For He tells you these things in Scripture. Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with your whole heart. With all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make straight your paths." You know what the middle verse of the entire Bible is? Psalm 118, verse 9. "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And Jesus, in speaking about these things, says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have storehouse or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to his span of life? If you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" In other words, Jesus says, in a sense, that these birds even could put you to shame in your faith. They trust their heavenly Father will feed them, or at least God does feed them. And this is what God wants for us. There was once a story I read of in Canada, a local parks commission ordered certain trees to be removed from a street where they were widening it. And the foreman came to one tree and noticed that there was a little nest with a mother robin sitting on it. And he said, well, leave that tree for later. They went on and worked on the rest of the street. They came back to check out the tree, and again, this time they found a mother, the nest occupied with little wide-eyed robins, wide-mouthed robins. Again, they left the tree. They came back at a later date, and they found the nest finally empty. The robins grown, then they cut down the tree. But before they did, they saw in the nest, when they separated the mud and the sticks, he found under it a small Sunday school card, and on it were the words, "We trust in the Lord." Well, shouldn't that be our case? That in all things we lean upon, trust in the Lord? Is it Independence Day with you, or is it Dependence Day with you? For some trust of chariots and some of horses, but we boast of the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright, it says in Scripture. So God wants us to lean upon Him, to trust in Him with all our weight and all our strength. But rather, what we often do is we trust in our own strength, don't we? And our own strength of our arm, our own intelligence, our own good old-fashioned American Yankee ingenuity. We trust in ourselves. And we have this sort of Independence Day kind of infusing our faith, I think. And this is not only American, it's just a plain sin problem. We see examples of this everywhere in the world. People trying to live independently. Independence Day, freedom from great God Almighty, not just Great Britain. But the trouble with this is that these things all end in disaster. There was Adam and Eve who chose Independence Day from God. They lost their lives. There was Israel who always, even after they're saved out of Egypt, were tending to lean upon Egypt, back upon Egypt instead of upon God. To their disaster. In Jesus' day, people trusted in their own might, wealth and wisdom and religion, wouldn't hear the truth, even crucified him, who is the truth. In our days also, there's a tendency for all of us to celebrate Independence Day from God. But when we look around us and we see the people that are practicing this, we see that when they seek to find freedom, they instead find disaster. Divorce, a lot of times, bankruptcy, broken lives, destruction, loss of life, loss of vitality, loss of sleep, and all other kinds of things like that. I once was trying to evangelize a guy in Wisconsin who came to church when I was a vicar up there. And I told him to come to Christ and to God and that he would make straight his paths. This guy told me at the end, no, I'm going to follow money instead. And when he left, I had to tell him he was not under the grace of God. He was not forgiven. But I don't have to be a prophet to know what this man's end would be if he pursued that road. Independence from God equals disaster in your own life. For God says in Jeremiah 17, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. So, do you trust in certain times in your life, in Independence Day from God? Why doesn't this work? Well, John Huss was one of the great reformers before Luther. He was promised, actually, safe transport by King Charles I. And he was given a document that said, upon the word of a king, you shall not suffer in life, honor, or fortune. You know what happened afterwards on his way home? He got killed by the same emperor who signed his safety. He signed a death warrant for the same man. And then, repeatedly, John Huss's last words were, put not your trust in princes. Look, what's God tell us? He says to lean upon him with our whole heart. That doesn't mean you can't practice your Yankee ingenuity or your wisdom or the strength God has given you and use it in your life, but it means where is your heart? Are you leaning upon those things? Are you leaning upon God for your help? Because we don't put our trust in princes or in the flesh because they're going to fail. you. God says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they're very strong, and do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. The Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and they will all perish together. Do we trust upon our military on this 4th of July? Do we trust on our own Yankee ingenuity to figure out the whole economic crisis in the world? Do we figure our own wisdom and strength will mend marriages, put lives back together? These are all things that the Lord does, and he does them with great strength. Therefore, God says, don't put your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there's no help. When his breath departs, he returns to his earth. On that very day, his plans perish. But happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever and ever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. You acknowledge that with me today? That power belongs to God, and that with the Lord is steadfast love? The trouble we have, I think, is that we can't see him. How do you depend upon someone you can't see? But nevertheless, I was in Cape Cod this last week. I saw all the things he's made, and he has a lot of power. I took this great canoe or kayak trip one morning, and I went out and crossed the dunes, these deserted dunes, out into the great expanse of the sea. And I saw seals swimming out, and I had miles of beach on either side, just me out there, surrounded by the power evident of God in his creation. This is the God who says, I'll stand by you. This is the God who says, lean upon me in your every need, and I will sustain and uphold you. So, what should we depend upon God for? Would you take out your bulletins? Let's look at the Apostles' Creed, page 9. You read it with me, the first part of it. Ready? Here we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Luther's words, he says, what's this mean? Answer is, I believe that God has created me and all that exists, that he has given me and still sustains my body and soul, all my limbs and senses, my reason and all faculties of my mind, together with food and clothing, house and income, family and property, and that he provides me daily and abundantly with all the necessities of life, protects me from all danger, preserves me from all evil. And all this he does out of a pure, fatherly, and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness on my part. For all this, I am bound to thank and praise, serve and obey him. It is most certainly true. Do you know that God supplies and wants you to lean upon and sit upon and depend upon him for every daily need that you have, for the sustaining of your bodies? I remember when I was snorkeling just a couple days ago, and I was diving down in this cold Atlantic water. It was probably, I'm guessing around that day, 62 degrees. I was in for like an hour and a half. There were certain parts of the bay that were warmer. I was glad we got to those. I didn't care about the cold. I was so excited about seeing all the creatures that God had down there. My father on the bottom of the sea. And Naomi and I were diving down, picking up starfish. Then we'd go over and find crabs, one of which we called Crabzilla, which popped out every time we went over a little section. Huge claws. And at one point, we dove down 12 feet to the bottom of a channel and saw what was down there, all the beautiful shells. And I'm thinking, as I'm down there, that all these things were made through Jesus Christ and that he still sustains them. He cares for all of these creatures. He actually has designed the starfish to deal with these temperatures, to live in it, to feed it, to supply its needs. I was walking up the beach one day, and I came across all these snails gathered around, and I noticed that they were around some crab claws. Well, God sustained the life of the crab until it was time to feed the seagull. He fed the seagull, and with the remains, he fed about 100 snails. And Jesus says, look at the ravens. Look at the plants of the field. God provides for them. Aren't you of much more value than 1,000 snails in God's eyes? So for all these things, we ought to lean upon him. I'm not saying you don't actually go out and work for your living and use your wisdom, but where's your heart today? Do you trust upon him and lean upon him to bear you up? For he will not let your foot be moved, and he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And there was a bishop, an Episcopal missionary to China. He was outdoors. There were robbers and thieves about him. He was warned. He was afraid that night. But then he thought, Lord, there's no use in both of us being awake. So he slept and slept peacefully, knowing the Lord would watch over him. That's what God wants for you at night, that you would know that he is ever vigilant. He doesn't go to sleep. He keeps you. Also, in the second article of the Creed, we read, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, etc. In this article of the Creed, Luther says, what does all this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He's redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, and delivered me from all sins, death, the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent sufferings and death, in order that I may be his, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Do you depend upon God for these things? When I was in Cape Cod also, I don't really watch TV very much, as you know. I don't have a television cable scenario in our house. But when I was up there, I watched a lot of TV at times at night, because I never have it. I came across a show, Dual Survivor. Have you seen that one? There's a hippie and then an army vet, and they go live in the wilderness. Well, they were in Maine. We have some visitors from Maine today. And they were out in the wilderness where there is no water to be found. And the sort of hippie Indian guy goes over to a birch bark. Birch taps into it, and he puts a little piece of the wood in there, and it drips out water, and he gets a whole pan full of nutrient-rich, drinkable, potable water. My friends, this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Apart from him, there is no water in this world, but he has given us the water of eternal life. Jesus said to a woman at a well, everyone who drinks of this earthly water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus wants us to depend upon him for this, that he gives us grace. He gives us rivers of salvation at the cross. But do you trust in him for that today? Is it Independence Day or Dependence Day? Ever been to Niagara Falls? Rushing River? Well, in 1860, there was a famous tightrope walker who crossed the Niagara Falls. His name was Blondin. And he crossed it numerous times. It was 1,000 feet across. It was 160 feet above the raging waters. And people were amazed. They watched him time after time go back and forth across the river of death there. And then everybody was excited. They applauded. Then he went up to a man in the audience. He says, do you believe I can go back and forth across here? Oh, yes, I've seen you do it many times. Okay, would you go with me and get on my back and let me carry you across? The man said, no way. See, there's a difference between just saying what Jesus did was something he can do, give us salvation. Another one between us just climbing on his back and trusting in him. He wants you to depend upon him. Look, we're all going to die one day. And even in life, we have many troubles. Jesus says, climb on my back. Trust in me. I can do it. Power belongs to God. And I can carry you. And at the cross, this is what he's done. He's poured out rivers of grace to us that we might be saved. Trust in him at all times, says God. Pour out your heart before him. God's a refuge for us, says the psalmist. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. And that to thee, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Even in the face of death, my friends, the Lord is my shield and my strength. In him my heart trusts. And my song I give thanks to him. And then in the third article of the Creed, we read about the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. What's this mean? It means that I believe that by my own strength and reason, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in the true faith. just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, preserves it in union with Jesus in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and abundantly forgives all my sins, the sins and the sins of all believers, and on the last day he'll raise me and all the dead, and will grant eternal life to me and all who believe in Christ. This is most certainly true. You know, the Holy Spirit, God wants us to lean upon, depend upon him, that daily he richly forgives our sins through Christ, that he daily upholds us in all things. I was asking Zuleika if I could share a story about Bill Morallo, her husband. And Bill was telling me recently he had a job change, the government shutting down his agency where he's working. And he says in the old days, a couple years ago, he would have bitten all his nails off with being nervous because he didn't really have as much trust then. And Zuleika was telling me, oh yeah, he's a lot better now. He's actually been provided another job, thanks to God. But he was telling me, I must be growing in my faith because I can look at my fingers and see that I still have nails there. You know what? God grows us in our faith. And whereas we may not wholly lean upon him at all times, he's teaching us to do that. We ought to rejoice in this. There was once a man, Oliver Cromwell, in England, who sent his secretary on a mission to the continent. And this man couldn't sleep. And the man who was attending him said, listen, ambassador, did not God rule the world before you were born? He said, oh, yes, he did. Will he rule it after you're dead? Well, yes, he will. Then, master, why don't you let him rule the present too? Trust in him. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is sovereign. He is the sovereign Lord, and he controls all things. Daily preserves us in him, in Christ, and in his church. Therefore, David says, I hear many whispering, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, plot to take my life. But I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. And the Holy Spirit, his name Paraclete, means helper, encourager, one who comes alongside, defender, protector, counselor, guide, and friend. And this is what God has done for us. This is what he wants us to trust in him for, to rely upon him, that his Holy Spirit's going to take care of you. And thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. God, I can testify to you, has preserved me. He preserved me on the road. When we go to Cape Cod, we always look for this place where I got in a great accident, where trucks collided ahead of me and nearly killed me, destroyed my car, broke its axle, threw me 10 feet into a tree, but I came out unscathed because the Lord preserved me. He's preserved me also on the highways of the sea. He's preserved me also on the road of life. And this is what God does. He wants you to depend upon him, to lean your weight upon him, for he is fully able to lift you up, to bear you up better than this chair, and to lift you up even on eagle's wings. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, says God, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. He's not anxious in the year of drought, for he does not cease to bear fruit. In conclusion, then, God is our shepherd. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He will protect, he will defend, and he will uphold. And so, what are we going to celebrate? Independence Day for our nation tomorrow? Good. Enjoy that. But every day as Christians, let's celebrate Dependence Day. For in that day, the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean upon him that smote them, but will lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Amen.